Morning, everybody. I'm going to start with the Sunlight Awards. And actually, this month, we have three, which is just a huge privilege. Yeah, right? Huge privilege. I'm going to read what their managers have said for them, because mainly then I don't have to talk all the time, right? So it's and actually, the first one goes to Luke, which is real unexpected and unusual. But there's a reason, and let me tell you why. Luke flew halfway around the globe, which we all, of course, know, to spend a month in a third world country to help us determine if we can save our $200,000 investment in Elite. Now, for those of you who don't know Luke very well, he doesn't like to travel. He's like me. Unfortunately, he gained the directionally challenged gene, unfortunately. So to go halfway around the world was not at all an easy prospect to do. In order to do so, he also readily flew to San Francisco on about a 5-hour notice to walk his visa paperwork through a bureaucracy-ridden agency 2 days before departing. Okay, so he flew to San Francisco, flew home, flew to India. Come on. He was selected to do this as he has played and continues to play a major role in the technological development of Elite from the user side, which is ours. All right, the people who are programming it would do it from their angle, but we always want to make sure it's appropriate for our customers, right? So that was Luke's role. While there, he worked with Olive Technology team to complete a good amount of development needed in order to launch our beta test as soon as April, help that could not have been accomplished any other way. Thank you, Luke, for extending yourself to help flesh out Elite and ensure our contractor in India was on task, because of course Luke would be calling them every day, but it would be at the beginning of the end of our day or the beginning of theirs, and we'd wait 24 hours. So the thinking was if we sent Luke ahead of time up to sit in the desk there and answer questions like he does right now with our computer team, could be a helpful thing to do. To help them understand our requirements, to make progress by narrowing the communications gap, because most of them, of course, English is not their first language. Furthermore, he continued to handle several day-to-day blog responsibilities and more. We appreciate your sacrificial team contributions and willingness to go above and, oops, it doesn't go further, beyond.
Thank you.
That's assumed.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, are you still with me, everybody? Everybody's still awake? Gets tougher, let me tell you. So there'll be a quiz at the end, no. Shoot, huh? The next one is Anne. Each year, we have an outside accounting firm review our accounting records to verify proper reporting. In case you didn't know that, it's one of those things that we do every year. And most times, we were finally finishing it, I think, in April. It's just a huge job because basically they look at our books and then we have to justify anything they find that's incorrect. For this review, the accounting firm issues financial statements to our bank and other creditors, confirming to all entities that we are reporting accurately. So it's important. The financial statements are also used to calculate our corporate tax return. In the past, the process required the accounting firm to stay on site. So we remember they would be in that marketing office. They'd be there forever for nearly 2 weeks with ongoing follow-up lasting through the middle of March. This year, Anne, along with Susan, did an excellent job preparing for the review, and the firm was only on site for 3 days. Wow, awesome. And the review it's going to get better. And the review was complete by the end of February. Thank you, Anne, for extending yourself to not only improve your understanding of the process, but for doing a great job preparing for the review while maintaining your many and consuming daily functions. We also appreciate your outstanding contributions and willingness to go above and beyond. Thank you, Anne. You're supposed to stand and take a bow.
Thank you.
Thank you. If I have to, you too. And the last one for this month is Susan. Each year, this is kind of the same thing. We have the outside firm coming in to verify all these things. Basically the same thing. They come up with all these different things. And as Anne worked on it, so did Susan as well. They did an excellent job preparing for the review. And believe me, when you're taking the amount of money that comes through, think about each book that you ship. Each one of those costs money, and each of them comes in from somebody and goes out to somebody, which is all accounting that has to be done in the building. So if you talk about the amount of how many tons, I've often asked Mark how many cars he's moved over the course of the year. All of those are accounted for by our team. They did an excellent job preparing for the review, and the firm was here for only 3 days, and the review was done by the end of February. Thank you, Susan, for extending yourself not only to improve your understanding of the process, but for doing a great job preparing for the review while maintaining your many and consuming daily functions. We appreciate your outstanding contributions and willingness to go above and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, everybody's still awake? Because this is a long one. I hope you can hang in there for here. I don't normally tell you the title of what I'm going to talk about. Today I am. Today I'm going to talk about, it's called Presuppositions Matter. Okay, what's a presupposition? A presupposition is a core belief, a belief that we hold within ourselves, and it's basically everything that we operate out of. You can tell whether or not a presupposition is really something you believe by your actions. So it's one of those, but it's so deep inside of us, most of us don't even know what they are. So today I want to talk through some of the presuppositions we use, even to run and pick the material and run the company the way that we do. Not the company, I'll do that another time. But why we educate kids the way we do. It's the presuppositions, the underlying beliefs that we base everything that we do on. And the first one is, God created people for a purpose. And if you didn't think I was going to start with God, you don't know me very well. It's one of those where it is a foundational belief in me, and it's going to come out in almost every talk that I give, and it also comes out in the product that we carry. And how it comes out in the products that we carry are in a number of ways. Because I believe God did it, I'm not a creature coming out of the primordial slime or whatever the world will be, but I was created for a purpose. And I have a God who watches what I do. Because he sees and has created the world, I don't only operate morally because I think maybe you're watching, but I know that God watches me as well. So that's all part of how I operate. Educationally, how that works out is I choose books where the kids learn. It's one of those where God created us for a purpose, so we want to learn the things that we need to know so that we can move forward with purpose and with call. We want kids to feel sorrow for wrongdoing. You know, in our books, none of them are perfect. Partially, I really stay away from books where the kids are perfect and the bad guys are, you know, the whole stereotype where the kids are dressed in white and the bad guys are dressed in black. We have none of those in there because our kids are people who are walking through life, potentially do things incorrectly, but repent and choose to walk in a new direction. Boy, that's important to me. I want kids to know that there's a new path that they can take even when things go wrong. I try to choose books where the kids impact their world. I think it's important that we give kids an example and a vision for the future. They're not just slime that's walking through earth, but they're kids that have been created with a purpose and with a call and with a direction. Because of that, we also spend time reading the Bible. I think it's important that our kids know the whole scope and scheme of the Bible. I think they go through it, I don't know how many times, multiple times through the scriptures. And we also have kids memorize Bible verses because we think it's important to take the truths and the understandings from scripture and kind of hide it in their heart so it comes up at times when it's important in their lives. Part of that is also that we live in a fallen world that was created perfectly, but through sin groans and needs a savior. Boy, that's a lot of theological doublespeak there. But the point of that is that we don't, although the world was created perfectly, we don't live in a perfect world right now. I think most of us can see that, right? We know about, you know, the bad situations in Darfur and the wars and the troubles and the can't pay the bills and all those things. It's a troubled world that we live in. And how that manifests itself through sunlight is I don't shy away from books that deal with tough situations. For example, we have one story where the people are living through World War II, and they don't have enough to eat, and mom hardly can get the clothes clean because there's no soap, and the bombs are going ahead, and it's just a time of deprivation. We don't shy away from tough situations. We know we live in a tough world, and we don't want kids to think that it's all going to be rosy and light, because then when a tough situation comes along, they don't know how to handle that. If we look at things from a tough world perspective, we can empower our kids so that when tough times come along, they can say, you know what, I'll get through this, because kids in books get through them as well. But it's based on the premise that the world is a fallen place, and we are walking in it as best we can. The third one is, since God reaches out to nations and peoples, we should study the nations and peoples of both the Eastern and Western Hemisphere. Sunlight's pretty novel in this, in that most homeschool supply companies focus just on the U.S., which, you know, there's something to be said for that. If we live here, we probably want to know how it operates and what it looks like and what its history is. And we do that as well at Sunlight. We think it's important for kids to know their heritage and to know where they come from and to understand even the scriptural roots that we have in our country here. But we don't stop there. We live in a world, and we want kids to be aware of the fact that the world is an interesting place, and there's a lot of great cultures out there that we need to study. Why? It comes back to the presupposition that God knows and loves them, right? So presuppositions, our underlying beliefs, make a difference. For me, I take great comfort in the fact that the Bible says that one day there will be some people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Boy, that's a key verse for me. And it comes out in the fact that we read about India. We read stories that take place in other parts of the world because God has a love and a heart and a passion for them. And our goal is to raise up kids with a passion and an understanding of their bigger world. So we use stories from other lands. We give examples of people who go because we think God's going to pick some from every nation. We want to hold those people up as highlighted examples, people who go to share the hope that's within them with other people. And we encourage families to pray. That's a part of what we do at Sunlight. We have, for those of you who work in the IG models, you know we have prayer guides that the kids work through with their parents. And the goal is to raise up kids with a heart for the world. Another presupposition or a core belief is that education should help children develop their gifts and become equipped to do whatever God calls them to do. Boy, if you pray with me in a group, boy, that's a prayer that comes up almost every time I pray. Lord, may our kids be fully equipped and fully prepared for whatever you've called them to do. I'm here to tell you that I believe that homeschooling is an optimal way to bring about that particular prayer. Kids have time. They have time to play and to kind of flesh out the interest that they have. They're not quite as structured. They have time to pursue their interests. And coupled with that is moms can pace the material according to what their kids need. Say you have a child that's a little slower in reading. Well, then you just slow them down a little bit. But advanced in math. Well, then you move forward in math. A school cannot do that flexibility. So homeschooling has a prime way of helping kids move forward into the whatever it is that they need to be called to do. Another presupposition is that God equips parents to love, raise, and educate the children he's entrusted to them. That is one of those presuppositions that most people have a hard time even believing. They think, you know what, the teachers are trained. They know how to do this, this magical thing. If we just send them to school, our kids will be somehow educated. And there's blessings. There's great teachers out there, and they have been trained. But I am also of the belief and of the opinion that parents are uniquely created to deal with their kids. They know their children better than anyone else. They know when they're lazy. They know when they're struggling. They know. They just have a good insight into that. So our goal at Sunlight is to provide parents with all the tools that they need. Right? That's why when you pack a box in the warehouse and it weighs 60 pounds, we want moms to have everything they need so they don't have to run to a store. They don't have to run to the library. They don't have to, because remember, homeschooling moms are busy. They're also caring for the home, and they're caring for their families, and they're preparing meals, and they're washing up, and they've got laundry still. Homeschooling moms are busy. Our goal, then, is to provide them with every tool they need, but we don't script what to say. Now, when I first started homeschooling, there was a company out there that said, if you could believe it, they would say, oh no, they'd have a little text, you know, this is what you read to your children at this point in time. Wow, is that an insult to mom's intelligence? At least from my perspective. But see, that's my presupposition. Moms are smart enough to figure out how to get this done. If we give them the tools, They will be awesome in raising up smart and intelligent children, but it's a presupposition that I'm coming from. I think, too, moms are the ones that desire their kids to succeed far more than any gifted, wonderful teacher can do. I have never met a homeschooling mom who said, oh, my adult children just can't read. And I'm here to tell you that moms are committed to beating the bushes until they find whatever it is their kids need in order to be able to do what's called for the test, different than a teacher could do. Another presupposition is that academic excellence honors God. And I think that kind of comes from the verse that says, you know, we need to love God with all our mind and our heart and our strength and our soul. But our mind is important. He wants us to stretch it, to use it to its best capacity. I had a homeschooling friend who, she'd buy 4 little workbooks and she'd hand them to her kids, and by gum, she was done homeschooling. I think, well, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? But it isn't good. We want to raise up kids who are equipped for whatever it is that comes their way. I've often talked to my kids and said, you know, you never waste anything you learn. And I can give you examples of that, of how that has even poured out. But what we do at Sunlight is we provide the full spectrum of what we think kids need to know. We cover all the subjects. And again, these 60-pound boxes that go out, they are full of materials to give excellent academics to the students that come and use us through this. Another presupposition is every child is naturally curious and can love to learn. Here, too, how this works out educationally in our company is the materials that we pick matter. Again, it's not just 4 little workbooks that we pulled off of some shelf somewhere, but we carefully select the materials that are in there. They want to be colorful and interesting and winsome and things that, you know, when Box Day, I don't know if you've ever gone to our website and read the quotes from people who get a Box Day experience. Now, how many companies do you know that have even a Box Day experience? It is fun to get a box. There's no two ways about it. But when you get a Sunlight box, the kids get involved and they pull out their books and they look at every one of them. It's just a very different experience than most companies that just send off whatever materials they think might need to be used for schooling. So we have, again, very few textbooks. We have math manipulatives. We have science experiments. We have compelling stories, and that is done for a purpose. We want to focus in on the fact that kids are curious and love to learn. We don't ever want to beat that out of our kids. We don't want them to get done with school and say, I'm never cracking another book. Then we would have failed and gone against the actual presuppositions that we hold. Another presupposition, this is also another one that's very novel about Sunlight, the best way for children to engage challenging ideas is within the home with their parents' guidance. I'm here to tell you that a number of our competitors would find this anathema. They would find this as a horror story and not at all be able to cope with it. Our goal is to raise up kids that read from a wide breadth of topics and wide set of angles and not necessarily written from a Christian perspective. But we want them to read what those books say, and talk it through with their parents. And the reason is we think it's important for kids to talk things through, to learn how to critically evaluate, to think things through and say, this is right, this is wrong, so that when they go off on their own, they're ready and able to do that. We hear of homeschooling families that were just taught in one specific way. We had somebody come through just the other day, and he said, oh, my son married a gal who was homeschooled, and she was taught in just this only is the truth. Boy, but she can't handle anything that comes through, which is just one of those tragic situations. We want kids to be ready, able, to wrestle with whatever comes their way, and we do that best as we talk things through. This is our presupposition. We do this best as we talk things through in the home and under the safety of our parents' opinion. This is one that I added to the list. The team has been working on this list for a while, and it is that history is linear. It has a beginning, it moves through time, and it travels to an end point. Why does that matter? For several reasons. There are some there's some religions, for example, the Hindu and the Buddhist religion, they think history has no meaning at all. There's no There's no reality. It's just where we just try to exist where we are, and it doesn't matter what happened in the past or in the future, because there's no reality there. I'm here to tell you that is not where I live, and it's not what I believe. I believe history has a beginning, started at a particular point. We are moving through time with a purpose and a plan, and one day God will return. That is my view of history. So each core, how that applies, is each core at Sunlight is wrapped around a history theme. Think about the shelves when you're picking titles. You've got Bible and you've got readers. You have history. That is not at all common with every other company that's out there. But I'm here to tell you that I think history provides kids the big picture for everything that's out there. And I think history teaches kids to think critically in a way no other discipline does. And I don't mean history the way we all were taught in school, where we were handed a textbook and now absorb these facts and move forward. History, as Sunlight uses it, is we read a host of books. We read books from different angles and from different examples. And I believe that that teaches kids to triangulate, to try to come to an ultimate truth, but it also teaches kids to read critically, which I think should be a goal and a challenge for each parent that's out there. And I think that's why history is a key part of what Sunlight offers. And finally, God uses ordinary, faith-filled people to change the world. Boy, I talk about this often, don't I? That we use a lot of biographies, a lot of stories about just regular, ordinary, dull people who just go out and do amazing things and transform the world. And we do that deliberately because we want to raise up kids that say, I can do that too. I want to go out and do that too. Boy, that's where we live. Those are some of the presuppositions of why Sunlight functions the way it does. It's probably not a final list because it's one of those where you have to think through and dig in deep and say, now why did I do the things that I do? But it could be that all of us need to think through, why do we operate the way we do? Because our presuppositions do matter. Thanks. Any questions?
Do you think you can change a presupposition if you realize that, because we all come from a certain place in our families, and if you think, that doesn't seem to quite be, I think it'd be kind of hard when you're...
I think it would be hard, but I think it's important, because we always want to be internally faithful to what we believe. Because if all of our actions come out of what we believe... If our belief system isn't accurate, we do want to adjust it, and I think that we can. Anyway, good. You always have good questions, Gene.
Anyone else? All right. Well, thank you, Serena.
Yeah.
We need to use to infuse everything we do. That's how we're going to infuse our customer service.
Thank you.